Hello and welcome to another Touchdown Fracker podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be discussing everything that's been going on in Champions League, and we're going to be going through our listeners' questions. No real general topic on the agenda this week. So let's introduce today's guest. We have Leroy back from his holiday. How you doing, mate?
I'm good.
We have Kane. How you doing, mate?
Very good. Well done.
We have Ol.
Hello.
How that cheap mic? Oh, definitely can hear it. And we have Io. How you doing, mate?
What's good?
And we welcome back Anton. First pod for like 10 years now.
Evening.
Good evening, lads. Right. So I guess we'll start with the Champions League. I think the games kind of went the way we thought they would after the first legs. Would it be safe to say that the two best sides have got to the final of the Champions League this season?
No. Do you mean in Europe or
the two best sides in Europe? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Who would you say are the two best sides in Europe then?
Barca and Bayern.
Hmm? But then Juventus get into the final. They beat Real Madrid. They beat the last year's champions. Don't they have
competitions don't work like that, though, do they? You can't say because someone's beat someone that makes them better.
So you would say that only Barcelona, it's not Barcelona, the two best teams in Europe?
No, it very rarely is. It very rarely is.
Okay. Has Allegri sort of surpassed expectations? Because I think someone sent in a listener question to us asking us to apologise publicly for...
I think it was said in jest, but I think there's a point to that. I think with Allegri, he's not an incompetent manager. He's always been a good manager. What he'd done with his Milan team was worthy of credit and whatnot. But was he good enough to put him in the same leagues as the Mourinho's, the Ancelotti's, the Klopp's, the Pep's, and so on? I don't think he'd had enough at the time. I think even though when we were discussing managers in one of our previous pods, we did say, you know, we don't really rate him as that. I think in the context of the conversation, that's the standard of managers that we tend to be alluding to. However, by admitting that Juventus had something about them, I think it was myself and a couple of others on the pod that said it wasn't going to be a straightforward tie. We are essentially saying that Allegri is part of the setup. He's going to be the person that's going to be setting up the team. So if we're saying that Juventus are good enough to beat Real Madrid, whether it be in one tie in Turin or over the two, that is indicative of his quality. It is still a surprise because I think Real Madrid could have finished the tie in the first match. They had a lot of chances. They hit the woodwork a few times. Juventus were relying on luck to a certain degree, but all in all, you can't really discredit them because Juventus did have a pretty good defence throughout the tournament so far. They are Italian champions. The Italian champions 4 years running now, I think. And to be fair, it's about time that they reached the final. I'm happy to see the Italian team go so far because I think it's fallen short of England, Spain and Germany. And we do want to see more competition, not just from Spain, not just from England, but from all over the continent. So all credit to Allegri for bringing that to us.
Yeah, definitely. How about Luis Enrique? Because I think there were a few doubts, especially at the start of the season. He didn't start off particularly well, did he? He had like a little blip where he seemed to have...
When they were saying he was getting fired.
Yeah, basically. But has he also surpassed expectations? Did we expect him to get to the Champions League final this year? Despite having maybe the best team in Europe.
I think you always expect Barca to get that far. Really, yeah, truthfully. When you weigh it up at the start, you'd always expect Barca to get to the final.
So does Luis Enrique like improve in your estimations of him as a manager, or are we putting it down to Barcelona?
Messi, Neymar, Suarez up top, you've still got Iniesta doing bits. Look at the teams, man. If you've got that team, you don't really take away from the coach too much, but if you've got players that are that good, you've got to give him credit, but you kind of...
To be fair, I think the credit for Luis Enrique this season is not so much the coaching, because I think from a playing perspective, they're always capable of doing what they did or what they are doing. I think the main credit has to be finding the balance in terms of fitting all of the pieces together. Because Barcelona are not the first side with incredibly talented players throughout the squad. So you have to manage egos. You have to manage the disputes. There was a massive one in January where people were like, well, is this the brink of their decline? Maybe it was exaggerated, but those were real problems. Their star player was, you know, unhappy. You had other players that were worried about the dissent that was running throughout the team. There was a lack of discipline to a certain degree. People thought Enrique was too harsh. And we know that he actually made a change to all of that. And they've been playing in more or less perfect harmony since. So as a coach, I'm not going to be quick to give him too much credit, especially the fact that their attack kind of worked it out for themselves and you've seen the effects. But in terms of the managing...
I'm glad you've seen the effects.
Yeah, bloody hell, mate. Oh, I could believe that shot. The cheek of you.
Well, listen, Neymar, Suarez and Messi are not the first incredibly talented forward line to have played. There's many that have not found that balance. So anyway, not to get into that, but essentially, I think the credit for Enrique has to go towards the way he's managed the people, the men. Gerard Piqué is looking as focused, if not the most focused he's ever done, which is a massive credit. The way he's managed the Ter Stegen and the Claudio Bravo situation has been great. He's reinvigorated Dani Alves. He's been able to rotate very, very, very well, which is something that we're not going to, that's not been acknowledged. And he was able to deal with the whole Messi fiasco pretty well. On top of keeping Xavi Hernandez as an integral part of the team, and obviously easing in some of the younger players like Munir, Rafinha, Sergio Roberto, so on and so on. So I think he should get a big, 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 big credit for that.
Okay. Well, glad someone's giving him some credit. You guys seem a bit downbeat on him. How about?
I think he's a good manager from what he's shown so far. Like, I think bouncing back from, you know, blips, you got to give the manager credit, especially that period when people were saying he's going to get sacked, like the next day with all the Messi refusing to get substituted and
Was it Chelsea fans who were getting a bit?
Yeah. Chelsea gonna buy Messi. Buy
Pogba and Messi. Griezmann play for Chelsea at the minute though.
Oh yeah. What about that? Pogba and Griezmann already out flipping West London, doing kickoffs with Hazard and that. But yeah, everybody thought that Messi was en route because he liked some picture on Instagram.
Yeah, that was it.
So 200 million was gonna magically enter Barca's accounts and he was gonna go, and then 2 weeks later Messi's scoring hat tricks every week, and so. It's just crazy how football goes. I think it's just, you've got to give him credit for the way he dealt with that, because so many managers would have crumbled. So many managers would have crumbled.
To do well, to be fair, because like, when he went to Roma, he absolutely flopped.
No, I expected him to do well, because he's obviously, he knows the club well.
Yeah.
And he's obviously had a lot of coaching opportunities. Yeah, he may not went to plan for him, but I think with coaching, it's a bit like playing football. Sometimes it needs to be the right situation. And yeah, I think obviously being back at home, yeah, it's the right situation, and they start off the season really hot,
it's the same with Allegri, because Allegri had a shocker last season with AC Milan, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But like, just to allude to your point about the Barca being in the Champions League final, I remember being Kane on the pod saying that, yeah, we think Barca will go. They were going on a long stretch of up to see the goals, scoring those goals, playing great football. There's a lot of balance in the team. This is even before Suarez touched the pitch. And people saying that, oh, they don't see Barca as good as Real Madrid, Chelsea, and Bayern Munich. So, Messi team. We have Lionel Messi in your team, but anything's possible.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, all rustling. Anton, that's you, man.
It is me. Sorry.
Your kids are around again.
Listen, you'll begin to annoy me. Stop disrespecting my children. We're going to fall out.
All right, cool. Let's go on to Pogba, because Pogba made his comeback yesterday. No, was it yesterday? The game was yesterday, wasn't it?
No, it was the week before he played.
No, he didn't.
He played on the Sunday, the game before.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if he started, but he scored, didn't he? In his game back.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't pay too much attention to
Sarah. Wow, our big host of Touchdown Fracas. You know?
Oh, no, it's Fracas.
Fracas.
Looks like fracas to me, I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely fracas.
It's definitely pronounced fracker.
No.
You Labour supporters are so illiterate. Okay, if you say, for example, hypothetical situation is definitely plausible. If Juventus win the Champions League, will they be able to keep hold of Pogba?
I think he's gone already.
Even if they win, even more reason to him. What has he got left to achieve there? Won the league 4 times or 3 times, whatever it is. Champions League, there's nothing left for him. He's completed it.
Yeah, I'm with Anton on this one. I think it kind of reminds me of Ronaldo. Do you know, obviously he won everything in Manchester United, and he always had, yeah, he always had other ambitions for playing for a club like Madrid. I don't think Pogba's ambition, long term ambition, was ever really playing for like Juventus. And you can see he's quite an ambitious guy and he's focused. And it really is one of those ones that if he wants to leave, and the teams that want him have the money, then he could go. And I think this is one of the first times I can remember a player where he wants to leave for big money and there's like 3 or 4 clubs willing to spend that money. I can't remember a player like this, not even Ronaldo or Bell or even Hazard, Sanchez, maybe Neymar. But like, I can't remember a time where there's so many clubs are after one player and are willing to pay 50, 70 or 1 million, whatever it's quoted. So,
And at the same time, I think Juventus, now that they've reached the Champions League final, apparently they're getting some like broadcasting money because like they've done so well and they're getting like the whole chunk of Italy's broadcasting money.
Yeah, but Lewis is
they get the whole pot. They get the whole pot, so they're getting about 100 million from this.
So they don't even need to sell Pogba.
No. Lewis, hear this, yeah? If somebody wants to leave, there's very little you can do.
Especially when you consider like his wages ain't great either.
His wages aren't great. Nobody in Juventus, I hardly think anybody's earning more than 6 million euros a year in Juventus.
Yeah, and that's
probably for one. Tevez. Yeah, that's probably, I think that was Tevez, and I think Vidal was on like 4 million euros a year.
The thing is, obviously, as Lewis said, they don't really need to sell Pogba because they've got this massive chunk of money from the Champions League campaign, 100 million, so they can buy quality players regardless. But from what I hear from just rumours and stuff, I don't think they actually mind cashing in on Pogba. I think,
yeah, they don't. As long as the money's right.
At the price that's being quoted, they think it's good value because I think they have long-term aspirations to have Verratti as the core of their team or the hub of their team. So, like, I think that's their long-term target, sort of, Verratti.
They got Pogba on a free, innit? Or did they have to pay compensation?
No, they have to pay compensation.
Yeah, they're paying compensation.
It would have been
it was chicken change.
Either way, they're going to make stupid money on him.
Yeah. They'll gross at least 50 million euros. And Juventus have had a history of, you know,
how much do you think he's worth?
What, to me?
It's different worth. It's worth a different team. Like, at the end of the day, I think he's worth 50 million to United, but I don't think he's worth 50 million to Arsenal.
To me personally, as a Manchester United, fan, and somebody who's watched him in the youth team, I only watch youth football because of Pogba and Ravel Morrison. If United were about to pay 65 million for him or 70 million, me personally, I'm like, yeah, boom, I'll be happy with it. You pay 60 million for Di Maria and he's been fuck all, so I don't really mind. That's it.
Like, it depends on how much like the budget your team is. For example, I'm not sure who's at the background, but Man United, like, they can go and spend 60 M's on a player and they still have 60 left. I don't think Pogba's worth spending 100% of our budget on.
I think
that kid is destined to be the best midfielder in world football for a long, long time. I don't see anybody that's on his level, I'll be honest. Like, I think he's...
Thiago?
Other than Thiago, I forget about him because he's wasting his time at Bayern.
why is he wasting his time at Bayern?
Because he should have just stayed at Barca and lived his destiny. There's not. Why is he going to Bayern for? To play in an uncompetitive league, I don't understand it. I didn't think he was going to leave Barca. I don't see any sense in leaving Barca when you've got that in front of you.
Anthony, I think it is. I think with these young players now,
impatient.
Yeah, but I don't think it's even impatient. Because why stay at Barcelona and be a bit part player when I could go and play for Bayern Munich and start every week?
But would he have been a bit part player?
But look, maybe now, but you can't always foresee certain managerial changes and what managerial, you can't, if one knows, are you willing to wait on possibilities or go and take a certainty?
When people say that, I always point out one player, and he's one of my favourite players of all time, Iniesta. I don't think Iniesta made 50 appearances for Barcelona by the time he was 22.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, it's true. It's true.
Do you know what I mean? But everyone else, they're so eager to just...
It's not even that, it's even Javi, even...
Even Xavi Hernandez, like, he was on the cusp of leaving.
Just call him Xavi, bro. We know who you mean.
I saw that right now. Like, even Xavi Hernandez, right? Even he... Now I have to do it, our principal. I have to say our principal.
Is that a trait of a hipster that you're describing?
Yes.
Go on,
a million percent.
Listen, come next football, when it comes to the next season. Please,
oh, right.
And anyway, as I was saying, like even with him, he was on the cusp of leaving. Like he was getting courted. I think it was only up until 2008 where he felt like he was a guaranteed starting player, and he's gone on to be legend for their side.
I think football's changed now because, like, even I remember reading about Frank Lampard talking about the attitudes and change, like how when you're a younger player, you have to, you know, come in clean the older players' boots. I think it's a lot different now. Obviously, with all the money and stuff like that, and seen a lot of clubs putting a lot of money into young players and they're flourishing. Especially, also got to think these players want to, when there's stuff like World Cups coming up and stuff like that, they want to be playing for the national side. They're gonna get to you. You ain't gonna get to your national team when you're on the bench. Mm. So
yeah, that's true.
Unless your national team is trash.
Real's gonna know how good he is, isn't it? And he's gonna be looking to his left, looking to his right, and he probably saw Fabregas, and he probably thought, I'm better than this guy. Like, why is he playing ahead of me? Just because he costs 30 mil. Like, I'm not on it. I'm going to bounce. I want to play.
Who was manager when he left?
Tito, wasn't it? No.
Martino. It was Martino. Martino.
That Gerard, that Martino, brother.
Yeah, Martino.
But I do agree with what Anto said initially about Pogba going to be destined to be one of the best midfielders in the world. I think he's going to be like one of the best footballers in the world. Like, if you just look.
Pogba is a guaranteed shout for, you know, best player in the world. Like, there's
personally, 60 million to me is nothing. Like, I'll spend that quick, calmly.
Okay, you're talking about a different budget. So, Anton, would you spend our entire year's budget, knowing what we need, knowing all the reinforcement, our entire year's budget, 70 M's on Pogba now? Because it's different. Are you not going to spend 70 M's and then go spend another 70 M's?
100.
I agree with Leroy in a sense of that at the end of the day, do we miss out on the best that's player, but we can still make the best team. So again, you have to contextualize it. You know, you have a budget that allows you to spend that type of a player, but a team like Arsenal, for example, or a team with a lower budget may not, even though they're capable of spending their whole budget on that, they may decide to obviously divide it and then buy critical
pieces. That's what I'm saying. It's not worth it for certain teams. He's worth it for United, but he's not worth it for us.
Ollie, Lewis and Anton, what do you think? Would you do that for Arsenal?
Blow everything.
So you blow everything on Pogba, or you make three signings for 70 million or whatever, or two signings.
Nah, I'd rather the three signings, you know.
I would blow everything on Pogba.
Are you through?
Yeah.
Nah, I couldn't.
It's
different for United and Arsenal.
As a fan, I'm saying yeah, but when I'm thinking logically as like some part of the club, if I was, then obviously I wouldn't. But as a fan, I would say, yeah, why not? Because the rest of that should be there in our squad. It's just people, I don't know. They're not.
So you don't think we need a forward? You don't think we need a centre back? You don't think we need a DM?
I think we need to make two of the three forwards that we've got pull their fingers up. To be honest.
Yeah, but do you think you really see that happening?
Yeah. No.
You really think Welbeck is going to just click in and just, like, come good?
You know what about Welbeck? I cannot wait till the day he actually clicks somehow.
You better keep waiting, B.
It's just going to be, like, everyone's just going to think, rah.
You guys are proper harsh on Welbeck, mate.
I'm so harsh on him, and the thing is, it's because I had so much faith in him, and he's hurt.
You guys are calling him a flop already. I can't believe it.
He's let me down, bub. No, you know what? It's because of what I see. Like, if I saw, even if he had the same stats, the same everything,
because he has a high top, innit? Because he has a high top. If he didn't have a high top, you'd rate him a lot more.
Yeah, if he wasn't crashing and he didn't have a high top, then okay. Sorry.
All right. Well, just to get back to talking about foreign affairs and maybe changing clubs. Real Madrid probably look to get a new manager in the summer, so that means Ancelotti. There'll be all sorts of manager merry-go-rounds and whatnot. Could we see Ancelotti being a good fit at Man City Or do you think Man City needs someone else?
I'll be happy with it in the league, you know. Cause
what, as an Arsenal fan or from a Premier League perspective?
Arsenal fan, because like Ancelotti's record in terms of winning league titles is crap. I think he's won 3 league titles.
I don't know if you remember what he did at Chelsea, mate, but...
yeah, but he's won 3 league titles, you know.
What, in his career?
In his whole career.
Nah, he's definitely done more than that. Nah, must have done really more than that.
Nah,
he's only won 3.
He's won 3.
So you can afford to
put him in charge of that City team and them not mash up the league?
I think they won't Champions League, though. That's the thing. That's why.
No, don't get me wrong. I think he would win the league under Man City, but I wouldn't feel as uncomfortable as like a Mourinho.
Yeah.
The thing is with Carlo Ancelotti,
like, I think he's well known for working really well with one established older players who know what they're doing and established teams. I don't really know if Carlo Ancelotti has it in him to sort of rebuild and restructure a team in a way that's putting it together, like making it work kind of thing. So coming to this City now, the City team needs a lot of cosmetics, and Ancelotti, I'm not sure he's the right manager for that. So I wouldn't really mind. I wouldn't be so uncomfortable.
I would rather Ancelotti go there than Klopp go there.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. That's what I said.
Because I think with Man City, I think they're one of those clubs that are willing. If a manager shows them that he's going to do bits, they're willing to, you know, open the gates and let you have full control, similar kind of like Jose has with Chelsea. I think something like Klopp, I think with Pellegrini and what's his name, Mancini, it's kind of like, I kind of have the feeling that Man City kind of just took what they could get. You knew that Pep was always kind of first choice. They wanted a manager like that. So I think with Klopp, and if Man City allow him to, you know, have his influence on the club's culture and stuff like that, and with their kind of budget, and they already got quite a lot of talented players, I think that could be a bit long. So yeah, I'd rather have kind of Ancelotti than Klopp.
I think Klopp will go well, though.
I don't think
he's only won 3 titles.
Why are you doing like Wenger actually, cuz?
He's won 3 titles in 30 years? No, 20 wow. years.
Wow.
Fucking, what teams have you been managing in all those years?
Reggio, he started off Parma, Juventus, Milan, Chelsea, Paris Saint-Germain, and Real Madrid.
So all those titles are recently, isn't it?
Chelsea and PSG were very recently.
He didn't win a title at
Did he win a title at Real Madrid?
One at Milan, one at PSG, and one at Chelsea.
Yeah, he didn't win a title at Real Madrid.
Did he win titles that were taken away, or then he just didn't win it?
No, he wasn't there at the time of Juve, was he?
No.
Was it Liverpool?
Juventus was like 2000 or something.
In the mid to late 90s.
Before Milan, and then he went to Milan for like 10 years or something.
So he won 2 Champions Leagues with Milan.
Yeah,
in his career. Yeah, I'm checking
off. Did he win a league title with that Milan team?
Yeah, I think one.
Yeah, he won one.
He won one.
One.
One league title in like 8 years, I think.
Wow.
That's a man. No, you won 2. It says here, 87 and 91. It was Milan. Oh, no, that's a player. Sorry, my bad.
That's a player, mate.
Oh, yeah. Shit, sorry. It got me. he's wavy, 2 champions.
So you think Klopp would be, for Man City, Klopp would be a better fit for them?
Yeah,
1,000,000%. He can turn them into the force they need to be.
Klopp forbid they get him to restructure the team. To restructure the squad, like make it it's a winning team. Like,
who do you think City are going to go for though?
Ancelotti. Yeah, this is why Klopp is like this. Essentially, from a playing perspective, this is why Klopp will be much more dangerous as a signing for Man City, because what City have and what's made them so great is how good they are going forward. Like when they dominate, it's insane. However, their weakness, and if this is what they need to work on, defending without the ball. If they can defend without the ball just as well as they can attack with the ball, then they will literally be on another level to everyone. And that's what Klopp will literally have them doing.
Mm.
And I think that's why you kind of prefer him to go to Liverpool as opposed to...
He's
not bad in Liverpool, bruv.
Why would he go Liverpool? He's done that job that they need doing already. He's done it. He's been a small boy.
No, because it's the kind. Maybe it's just the kind of person he is. Maybe he just you don't know.
He's backwards.
No, yeah, he's pressing himself again.
I will drag him at the airport, bruv. Is he mad?
The impression I get from him when he's talked about going to other places is just about the experience.
he's never
he's
really...
already had that experience of, no, but, of having a club that's going to lose his best players.
I agree with you, but the thing about Klopp is, in terms of his personality, he's very much the kind of person who likes to be a family type club. Like, he's expressive. So, even though I would say, yes, I could see him going to a bigger team like Man City or Real Madrid and so on, him going to Liverpool ahead of maybe of a Man City isn't that much of a shout. Like, people's motivations are not the same.
But looking at their squad, looking at the fact they're not in the Champions League, looking at their budget, looking at the fact that he's got no control, do you really think someone who's going to go for a Champions League team who's just been winning Bundesliga titles, who's been doing well in the Champions League final, and then go to a team who really is, one, he's not in the Champions League, and two, who doesn't look like they're ready to beat in the Champions League?
And number three, I don't think Liverpool are actually going to get rid of Rodgers.
No, I don't think they will.
I know, but if they knew that they could drop Rodgers and get Klopp, please believe Rodgers will get dropped.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
Think.
Yes.
In a heartbeat.
They'll drop him calmly. Like, we got to remember that these people are this is business here.
Yeah,
like,
them Americans fight.
Yeah, they are. Like, they're ruthless. Especially American sports, they're ruthless. Yeah. Like, they'll. You saw how they dealt with the Suarez thing. Arsenal activated their claws and they lost. They rejected the bitch straight away.
I didn't know why we didn't take those pricks to court.
Arsenal too honourable for their own good sometimes. Yeah. When I heard about that, I'm like, that's why I said you don't even get me. You're too honourable. Oh. You think that they could pull that stuff with Real Madrid?
I was saying at the time that we should just take Liverpool to court just for the sake of
it's
it.
Not like we should give them that, like, more money. Like,
no, I disagree. I don't even think we should do that. I don't think we should have given more money. Why should we give him more money? Fuck.
It's a legal obligation to take him to court.
Now, Lewis is right. We should take him to court.
Take him to court, even if it goes on for like 2-3 years,
it doesn't matter for the liberties. Like, you can't, like, that stuff actually. Even though I didn't want Arsenal to get Suarez whatsoever.
Imagine if we did.
If you got Suarez, you would have won
the league last season.
Comfortably,
100%, with ease, 100%.
Actually, but to be fair, he would probably be a Barcelona player this year, and he would have bitten someone.
I would have taken that year.
Now, you think you would have gone? I think you would have gone Barca a bit later, you know.
Yeah, we would have got three seasons.
I think either way, you had a league title at 80 M's on top of that. So
yeah. I think you're underestimating how much of a cunt Suarez can be.
No, he's a cunt, but he won't go straight away. Like, he'll go a bit.
Even if he was, you would take that, you know. 1 year Suarez.
He would racially abuse Danny Welbeck. He
wouldn't have Welbeck.
We wouldn't have Welbeck.
He'd be chilling on United's bench.
Actually, what you said is right, Anton. We are like, we don't have that many black players anymore, do we?
No, that's why we win games now.
Nah, winning games because there's no black defenders, bro.
Yeah. You know, remember when we had Gallus and Torres, centre backs, Calamity, every
Giroud.
Also, fan Jerry.
Anyone tell me that when we signed Gallus, we didn't think we'd have the best we didn't used to argue we had the best centre backs in the league. When
oh my god.
We used to make that shout. I made it.
You guys explained to me the only sat down was after the Birmingham game.
Yeah.
What was that about?
That's when I was done with that guy, man.
Like, no, but do you know what? Pete gets a lot of stick for that, but I kind of felt...
I liked what they did in that game.
I felt like that showed how much he wanted to win.
I don't blame him for that game. I blame Gil Clichy.
It was a penalty. Yes, it was.
It
wasn't
a penalty, man.
Was it the same game where Bednar could squint at the Bayou all the way around and they flopped it?
No, that was another game, I think.
That was
the game where Eduardo's leg got broken.
Yeah, it was when Eduardo's leg got broken.
Oh, it was 2-0 up and James McFadden decided to turn into Messi.
That was Birmingham City, right?
Yeah.
No, it was that game. I'm sure it was that game.
We would have won the title as well.
You could have went 3-1 up and then he flopped it, then Clichy gave away a penalty.
But
was it that game?
But I do think that shows the lack of winning mentality. That it made a guy go mad. Like,
remember, Gallus had come from Chelsea, you know, he wasn't used to that kind of foolishness.
Yeah, true.
No, but Gallus came
was
in
new
what,
for
2005.
Him.
Yeah, he came after
2006.
No, he came after the team.
Yeah, but Chelsea hadn't won anything.
Yeah, they had.
They won the title the year before that.
He was fullback.
Like he left because he weren't playing. He was playing.
I keep thinking
I don't want to play left back no more.
I keep thinking that Chelsea's history started in like 2000. Or
pew, 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 pew,
2005.
In a way, that deal was so shit for us, you know.
5 million and the best left back in the world.
We lost the best left back.
A bit stupid.
Wait, did any of you listen to Football Weekly and hear about that Ashley Cole said to his England teammate about why he left?
No.
Apparently, he said to one of his England teammates, like, a big part of the reason he left, obviously, apart from the cash they wouldn't offer him an extra $5,000, he wanted 55 instead of for 50, and he thought it was disrespectful. Apart from that, he was like, oh, I look around the changing room, and it was in cliques, and there was just a Brazilian clique, a French clique. I couldn't talk to no one apart from Theo Walcott. He said, like, he just had no English people around him. Like, he said he had no real friends.
So he went to go
meet UKIP voters and, like, go.
see, the Ashley Cole thing, yeah? Like, end of the day, obviously, footballer wise, he's a pain to go to Chelsea. But end of the day, when your career is all said and done, you ain't got time for. Nobody's going to care about, you're good lads, da da da. You wouldn't have trophies on you. You wouldn't have trophies on your flipping resume.
I would have
gone to Chelsea as well.
Yeah. I don't think every footballer thinks that way, though.
But in a way,
Steven Gerrard's a prime example.
Realistically, Ashley Cole should become
Gerrard is not a prime example. Gerrard was going. If people didn't threaten to set his house on fire, he wouldn't have got. He would have gone. He didn't stay through loyalty. He stayed because the gangsters stuck it on him. Don't believe this loyalty thing. It's because he was threatened.
Same thing with Man United. Like, obviously, I'm Man United fan.
With Rooney.
Not for Rooney. People go about skulls and gigs. Listen. It's easy to be loyal when you're going to start every game and your team's winning every game. If United were going for droughts and droughts and droughts and they're sort of for the game, they might have bounced as well. Maybe not Scholes, because Scholes, he didn't have an agent or that type of stuff, but, like, you know what I mean? Rooney wants to go to Man City. People forget that. People forget he wants to go to Man City. Rio Ferdinand wants to go link Peter Kenyon in London. Forget that. But people wanted to cry about him not getting a proper send-off. Like, I don't know. I think we need to understand that at the end of the day, is about, so with certain players, with most players, is about, you know, doing the best you can financially and on the pitch, and that's winning at the same time.
I think, like, a lot of it should, sometimes though, it should be about your legacy. Ashley Cole was right, but, like, take for example,
people like Van Persie. Yeah.
Come on.
Nah, I'm sorry.
I don't think his one league title is enough to just throw away what.
I think he could have won the title with Arsenal.
Let me tell you how close.
No one's going to remember Van Persie when he's gone. No one.
You know, if you look at Van Persie's scoring record, you know how close he would have gone. Not, he wouldn't have beat Thierry Henry's record, yeah?
I think he would have gone.
I think he would have.
What, three more seasons of 30-plus?
I don't think he would have. I seriously don't think. Because you just can't rely on Van Persie's fitness
levels. But
we can rely on Van Persie's fitness levels. Yes, we can. No. We didn't treat him right.
Can I ask you a question, you guys, yeah?
If we didn't treat him right, there's nothing to say that we would have treated
him. Playing
him
left wing for Emmanuel Adebayor.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because you don't talk about Van Persie's legacy, but up until the point he left, was he a cult figure? Because I don't remember him really being.
No, but it's what he could have become.
Was he already on that level to transcend to that?
He was winning us every game for 2 seasons. Every single game, he was winning us for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
He's scoring shitloads of goals,
But I also think of Van Persie, yeah, I think he also got, obviously, even though he shagged Arsenal, he also got shagged in the fact that Ferguson decided to leave. And I think that changed a lot of things.
Done him over.
He done him and Shinji Kagawa. Because Rooney was at the door.
Don't mention that dead guy, please.
Well, since we're already with the United and Arsenal sort of conversation, let's talk a little bit about the game, because... Is it just me, or does this feel like one of the most unanticipated?
you actually copied what I texted you, wanker.
I didn't copy. I don't do those things. I come up with my own topics of debate.
Piece of shit. Yeah, I agree with you. Like you know, usually even from school days, like 2 weeks, or maybe even like 3 weeks before, you're talking smack to your friends. You're looking forward to it. You see a couple of ads on Sky Sports here and there.
You're doing Van Nistelrooy or Henry comparisons.
Yeah, and I was one of them guys. I knew I was wrong, but
at least you admit it.
You know what? That's kind of like me with Gael Clichy and Ever. I was actually wrong, but I just said it.
Yeah, like I was riding that all the way. But the games last season, the whole Van Persie and playing Arsenal again narrative. Like, I don't know. It feels like there's nothing to play for. Like, no title. There's no rivalry between the players that much. Like, it's not really heated anymore. Like, it kind of feels like a nothing game, which is kind of weird because it's the biggest rivalry, maybe apart from biggest non-derby rivalry, probably in the Premier League. So, I don't understand it. But we're both shit. Yeah. So
this is probably the most pointless Man United versus Arsenal since
I don't even think so. I think there was a point, more pointless one. I think it was the last one we won, wasn't it? Where we, the league one, where Ramsey was it? Ramsey?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a pointless one. I don't even think anyone could move. At least this, there's still something slightly riding on it. Whereas
what's riding this game?
It's just the automatic Champions League qualification.
That's done, bro. Like,
that's done, to be honest.
That's done. You have to lose.
That ain't done, man. That ain't done.
Nah. Like, oh, Leroy, United can't get more than what? 74
actually,
points.
Actually, Leroy, carry on doing what you're doing because I like it. Whenever you do this stuff, it never comes true. So it's all right. Like.
Nah, but seriously, like, they can catch us, you know.
No, they can't, man.
But how many?
Who do you think's gonna win that game, then, lads? Who do you think's gonna win?
I think it's going to be a draw.
Yeah.
1-1.
I think we're going to touch 3-1.
Nah, I don't see it. At Old Trafford.
Old Trafford, we've got half our team missing.
But
beat us
with Old Trafford, isn't it?
And John O'Shea sent the mid, fam.
Yeah, but we had Ferguson them times. We don't have Ferguson no more, Lou. I don't think you've noticed. Last 2 years, you have Ferguson, and things ain't really even going the same.
Wait, who's missing? Who's missing for you? Carrick.
Rooney.
Carrick and Rooney, that's all you need to know, fam. Carrick,
I don't believe Rooney's going to miss. I bet he will start.
No.
That's what I think as well.
Now, Van Gaal has lied once about a player being missing all season.
There's always time to start.
There's no point. Why start chatting shit now, fam? Like, after we'll do that.
I don't know. Van Gaal's some slow coach, man. He's only just worked out that Rooney should be playing up front. And.
Hey, what was the game that he played then? Van Persie set in the mid again?
Oh, bro. First Bromwich Albion, bro. Van Persie really set in the mid.
Hey, he's the funniest, bro.
No, it's not funny. He's gone beyond jokes now. Like, what is. Okay, I said the banter, but this guy, you know, he's taking the piss, bro. He's taking the fucking piss.
Yeah, he's
taking the piss.
He's a funny guy.
No, he's not funny. He's a dickhead.
I like him. I like
him. I like him, man. Nah, I like him.
Yeah, I like him as well. After the Sam Allardyce send, did it? That's what killed me about him. When he replied with the paper.
For Jones, need to keep quiet. Let's move on to the next topic, please. I don't
want
to get.
Wait, you think Man United are going to win?
No, we're losing.
Oh, sorry. You think Arsenal are going to win?
Yeah, 3-1.
Anton, what do you think? Okay.
I'm draw.
What did you say?
It's a draw.
Oh, draw. Alright, okay. Anyway. Well, let's leave that. Normally, we should be able to do like a whole pod of Arsenal against Man United.
Yeah, we should.
It's unfortunate Welbeck's not playing, though.
Is he not available?
Why?
No, he's not.
No.
Wait, can I get your views on Welbeck, though? Like, you, man. Like, do you not think... What do you lot think of him? Like, the Arsenal fans, anyway.
How old is he right now? Again.
Think of who, sir?
23.
23?
Who are we talking about?
Welbeck.
I'm a big fan of Welbeck. He's that Ghanaian in him, innit? That erratic African.
That's what I said, bro. It's the mental side, you know. It's that Ghanaian. It's the mental side.
Seriously, though, like, do you actually see him banging?
If he's not banging by like the age of 26, then
should I tell you what? This is gonna sound weird, but I don't think Welbeck's best position is up front. Like seriously, for United, for United, like when we actually played him wide, we're not like wide in like a 4-4-2 that we're playing like more of like a 4-3-3. He was really really dangerous because one, he's actually quite a good dribbler. He's quite intelligent in terms of like his passing play, link up his players, and because he's not naturally aggressive, a lot of his scoring opportunities tend to come when he has no choice. And we have stuff like him coming in off the back post, him coming in off the line. I think he's really, really good at that. Like when you have him so up front, it's just like he's doing too much enough. And also like, I think he's just too selfless. He needs to be more in all his actions.
Yeah, needs to be a killer.
I've only seen him be selfish in one game for Arsenal. And that was against Man United. No, the first game when he was trying to force
that. Galatasaray as well.
Oh, I didn't see that game. But a lot of times, like, for example, like he'd get the ball on the left. He'll be driving at the guy, he'll cut in off the guy with ease, because obviously he's quick, he's got good feet. And I promise you, he will never bang it. He'll cut inside the guy, enter the box. Exactly, try to pass the 1-2. Like, somebody...
He's not got a killer.
You know what? There was a time, like, period of the season when he first came Arsenal, he was actually cutting and shooting. Then it just stopped.
I've been impressed in drips and drabs with Welbeck. Like, there's been a few games where he's been a bit frustrating, but I think there's been a few games where I've seen a lot of...
I personally think Danny Welbeck is one of them guys that just needs to play consistently, like, consistently, week in, week out, get into a rhythm. Like,
I think he's going to bang for us. I think he's going to bang well for us.
I think, I think long term he can bang, but like I'll enjoy laughing at him for now because obviously he plays.
Lewis, what has impressed you? What specifically?
I just like how he is on the ball. I think maybe a lot of what I get impressed with Welbeck about is actually when he plays for England.
Yeah.
And I know he England play a different system and whatnot, but when Welbeck plays for England, he's a different animal. And you could say, yeah, it's against certain teams like that, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I think his performances, he shows a lot on the ball.
Yeah.
That it's exciting. He's very quick. He's very strong. And yeah. I think if he just needs to fine tune certain parts of his games. I know instinct's a bit hard to learn, but even if he doesn't become a striker, I like him as a player. I really do.
He's actually a good player. Like, he's actually a good player. The thing that annoys me about Welbeck is, well, I see Welbeck as a striker. That's the position we brought him in, isn't it? That type of position, it's all in your head. And the thing is, it's something that it's innate. Like you can tell a goal scorer from very young. Like, tell a goal scorer from, even if he's playing above his level, even if you play getting a flipping championship player in the Premier League, you can tell.
I don't agree with that at all.
Nah, you can, bruv. You can tell.
Henri, Ronaldo.
You can tell they're goal scorers, bruv.
You didn't tell they were goal scorers when Henri was at Monaco and when Ronaldo just...
To be honest, I didn't see him.
Do you know what? The thing is with Henri, I think Wenger's... There's a famous quote with Wenger where he says, like, where Henri come up to him and he says... No, Wenger's like, oh, I'm going to make you a striker. And Henri's like, but boss, I don't know how to score goals.
I'll swear down.
And I think that's in, like, the Wenger docket.
Okay, don't tell me he used to play up front when he was a kid, used to smack in 50 a season.
Like, who did?
John Terry. Ashley Cole, the same. Like,
yeah. Patrice Evra as well.
It's not true, like, there's loads of players that were strikers before and then they're not.
Sky Sports was... Sky Sports was saying that the Southend goalkeeper... No, was it... No, Stevenage goalkeeper. He played up front for Ridgewell Rovers and scored, like, 63 goals or something. And then, yeah.
Oh, that's Dave's team.
Sue Chris Dave's Day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but for me,
yeah.
For me, what I see from Welbeck now.
Sorry?
Harry Kane was a goalkeeper. Look
now.
No way. But
yeah, for me, what I see from Welbeck, though, like, in terms of his movement, in terms of the runs he makes, nothing is threatening. Like, you see when Walcott comes on the pitch. His movement is always sharp, short, threatening. Everything is threatening towards goal, towards goal, towards goal. A lot of it off the ball, even with the ball, driving towards goal. I don't see no threatening movement from Welbeck. It reminds me of Chelsea.
But hear this though, like, look at Walcott though. Walcott has been at Arsenal for how many years? So he's getting that coaching intuition. Like with Welbeck, the problem with Welbeck is that he's been kind of fumbled around ever since he's been at United. He came ready his debut right wing. Sometimes he plays left wing. Sometimes he plays up front. And I think as a young player, he's only really had one season where he's played up front. And
I don't
that was
care.
But he banged though that season. He got 15 goals.
No, but I fully don't care like where you play. Like if you're left, you're right. If you're a goal scorer, you're a goal scorer. The runs you make.
I don't know. I think that's harsh.
I'll give you a prime example, yeah? When I was a kid, Joe Cole was there. When you used to see of Joe Cole playing, he was the most amazing player you'll ever see. Skillful, everything. When you see Joe Cole playing for England, you would never believe that was the same guy. Ability and instincts can get drained out of you by doing the same things all the time, yeah? Welbeck, since he's been a pro, how often has he played up front? Because you football and pro football, not...
Anton, you disappeared.
Sorry, what I'm saying is, Welbeck hasn't had these opportunities in pro football. At youth football, it's completely different, so he's going to have to acclimatise to this role again because he's not used to it. And also, the football United have played compared to what Arsenal have done, it's not the same. He's used to making a run on the first pass, whereas at Arsenal, there's four more before he has to make his run, or before
that's
he should make his run.
Sometimes, Antonio, he does some, like, I think, I can't remember what team you're playing, and I remember it was Ozil. He came on and Ozil had the ball. Burnley. Burnley.
Yeah, he made some
ridiculous run.
And that run, like.
But you don't need any common sense to be a striker to make that run.
Yeah, like that run, I don't even think, like, flipping my sister would do the same run. Like, it was just common. Like,
who watched the Arsenal Swansea game on Monday? I went to the game. Aaron Ramsey made the worst run I've ever seen a professional footballer make in my entire life. I've never seen movement so bad. But generally, Ramsey's movement in forward positions is good.
But Welbeck's isn't, Anton.
No, Welbeck has very good movements in terms of creating space for, like in, he runs in the channels and creates space for people. Runners off him is excellent. I have and a
to
problem
be
with his
threat.
Yeah, his goal, like sometimes, that's what I'm saying, his whole attitude and demeanor is just not attacking enough.
I think Arsenal have got four forwards at that club, and I'm including Podolski, who's out on loan now, ideal for two man front lines, and Wenger is hell bent on not playing two men up front.
Yeah, because you've got too much talent in the middle, that's the reason why, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because if you're
really have goals when you football matches. You play during the up front, you're getting 40 goals a season between them.
Yeah, but here this year, say you play two up front, yeah, then you've got four in midfield. Sanchez is definitely going to play. Ozil is definitely going to play. Then you've got probably three of your top eight players on the bench. So I think it causes problems that way.
I don't think we're never good enough going back to rely on trying to have even games.
Arsenal's
philosophy should be what the City philosophy was: is, all right, you can score three, but we're going to score seven. No problem. That's what Arsenal should have been dealing with. Not trying to have a balance when there was no balance. We tried to have a balance with no holding midfielder. If we were going to have a fully attacking mid team, we should have just gone the full hog and had an attacking team in it.
We tried to have balance with Alex Song in midfield.
Yeah, you don't do stuff like you play like a high pressing game. No, you play like a high block with like no press. Like, I don't know, you just do crazy things. So
I think the only one season that has worked perfectly was the one when Fabregas and Adebayo just linked up like mad.
I think if the way you don't play right now, you won't need to get a bad boy striker. But with the guys you got right now, you probably have to play two up front. That's why I said Eric and Arsenal should play a diamond from
but
early.
That's the issue for us though. Who are we gonna get?
I think if you're players, you can play a diamond. Why not play a diamond? That's what I think.
What do you mean? For a diamond or a 4-4-2?
For a diamond.
For a diamond, we do. But then, like, Arsene Wenger's game, a lot of it relies on width. A lot of it relies on width. Especially
your strikers give you your width in a diamond.
All your fullbacks.
All your strikers have got to do is make runs out wide. That's all they got to do. And guarantee centre-backs follow them. And then that you leave that with Mesut Ozil, and then you've got a Welbeck or a Walcott coming in. Come on. Curtain.
And also you've got fullbacks who are, what's it called? Like, Monreal and Nogan. I'm not sure about Monreal. Not Monreal, no. Gibbs.
We need to talk about this.
Imagine this is at the start of the season, you're being harsh.
Gibbs and Bellerin, Gibbs and Bellerin both got a good engine and both are really good going forward. I can see them manning that wing. And also, when you see a lot of modern teams who play a diamond, sometimes they have like a midfielder that could pull out a wide anyway, especially United with Di Maria. You might have a guy like Ramsey on one side of the diamond that could really pull out wide, or you can have somebody you can tuck in and have like Bellerin just killing that flank. I don't know, especially the players you've got, to me it makes sense. I don't know, I just don't think Arsenal have enough, for all the quality, they don't have enough goals when they play. Like, that's my personal opinion. Same with Man United, actually, at this moment in time, even though we've got like a million strikers.
Alright, well, let's move away from this, because I know Kane wants to have a rant about Real Madrid.
Is Kane even in the conversation?
Kane is here. I'm just biding my time.
Kane's biding his time. Kane's writing his script out.
You damn right. Let's get popping. Let's do this.
Go on, Kane. I'll give you the floor.
All right, well, basically, obviously everyone knows that there's been rumours of David De Gea signing a pre-contract or personal terms with Real Madrid. And it's not so much about DDG, it's more just about the whole recruitment. I can't lie to you. Like, when they got knocked out, when I literally start crying. I'm so happy Real Madrid got knocked out of the Champions League. Because, honestly speaking, and it's a problem I've had with Man United to a certain degree as well, which is the way they build football teams. And...
You what?
I'm talking about Real Madrid here.
You think United builds football teams the same as Real Madrid?
No, I'm saying you're going in that direction right now.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's not a good thing.
I don't give a damn, bro. If honestly put this in my team, if I'm paying £30, £30, £40 for flipping football top every season, and we're signing Ashley Young for 16
million. Oh, yeah, £40 every week for a ticket, then I remember you're from halfway across the country and you don't go.
I've actually gone to more Arsenal games more United games than a few men in this podcast. Gone to Arsenal games and it's down the road, so,
Name names, isn't it?
I don't know. They know themselves, innit? Go on. How many games have you been to this season, lads?
I got a job in football on a Saturday, innit? I can only go on a Sunday or Monday.
Okay, well, what rest of you?
To at least five?
Lewis?
I'm busy on Saturday, so I... I'm busy on Saturdays.
Anyway. Them ones. Anyway, the whole thing with Real Madrid is that it's a thing where, to a certain degree, obviously the result and trophies should be considered a high indicator of success, right? But if you actually look at what Real Madrid have spent for the standard that they obviously put themselves on, they've massively underachieved.
It's only 3 years without winning the league, isn't it?
3 years without winning the league. How many years without winning the Champions League? If you look at the amount of money they've spent,
one title in 7 years, one Champions League in 12 years, and they spent £1 billion.
Irrespective of the fact that during that period you've had arguably the greatest club side of our generation anyway, and one of the best sides of all time, that's just not good enough.
That wasn't a good side. It was a team. It's like now.
I'm talking about Barcelona. Oh, like, yeah, you know.
I'm not a fan of them. Their recruitment policy, I agree with you, is ridiculous. They just broke stars together and then tell all those stars, you're not the star, that wasn't the star. And then expect those guys that were stars that are no longer stars to perform like stars while telling them they're not. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I'm not shocked Xabi Alonso left. Like,
I think what we got to understand is that also is part of is how they generate their money. That's why they make a lot of money. They have to do it. Hollywood of football type. That's their business model. Yeah. We get the best players. That's crazy.
But the thing that's crazy is though, even though I agree with you, that is part of their ethos is that essentially they consider themselves, you know, a winning team, a team of very attacking football, but they've not won that much.
I think they've got a problem with buying into the hype too much as well.
Didn't they go through like a stage before where they didn't win many leagues and stuff like that? Yeah. Real Madrid went through like a real down. Like their real history comes from quite a few years ago, doesn't it?
In terms of their Champions League history, it was in the 1950s. They won
four in a row.
But still got you are getting them pro because if you delete that, they will still be.
Yeah,
second.
No. I get. They'll still be second anyway. Just like...
Yeah, but yeah, no, I hear you. But I think the main problem of Real Madrid is, I'm not even sure if it's just. I think it's a recruitment policy. Joe, not just players, they do not give managers any sort of chance. Like, wasn't it Vincent Del Bosque that won the league? Because he didn't win the Champions League, he got fired?
No, he won the Champions League and got fired.
Oh, okay. Like, I read today that I'm not sure how accurate it is. I'm going to check up if I can remember.
Wasn't it because he didn't want Beckham?
No. What's that? Because of that. But, like, I read that the last time a manager didn't win anything and didn't get sacked from Madrid was in 1983.
Who's that?
I don't know. It was 1983, fam. Was I even born? I don't know. That was like 6 years before I was born.
That tells you in terms of, you know, what kind of ethos they have. The culture over there is ridiculous.
It doesn't help that it's a presidency sort of thing as well. That's what causes it.
Yeah,
you know, Real Madrid have won 7 titles in like 26 years.
That's awful.
That's pathetic.
And on top of that, right, even if you just look at the modern day Real Madrid, right, even when they won the league, the Champions League last year, even this season, right, the actual football they play, I'm not going to call it shit because it's like they pump a lot of teams, like ridiculous scoreline, right? But it's, you're watching them versus Juventus, even versus Valencia on the weekend, and you're like, when you need to win, you're literally relying on diagonals and crossing. Mm. At crunch periods, their most creative player is Marcelo.
This season,
they will have a even last season.
Last season, the crunch period.
Atletico were about to win the Champions League up until they put Marcelo.
Is that what you're going to base your theory on of the Champions League final? That they must.
No, because that was the case a lot of the times when they needed to really go for it. It was the penetration from a fullback, and that fullback, 9 times out of 10, was Marcelo. Mm. Very rarely when
someone did a piece of
Listen to me. Very rarely, I'm talking about the whole last season on top of this season, right? Very rarely when they really struggled to break a team down would the penetration come, or the main creativity would come through their midfield players or even their attacking players. Very, very rarely.
What was the midfield last season again?
Modric, Xabi Alonso, Di Maria. I'm proper not understanding this point. So what I'm saying is
for the talent that they have in the middle third and in the final third, the football that they play, we've spent the last few weeks getting on Chelsea for, you know, playing a certain brand of football, boring, so on and so on, right? When a team like Real Madrid with infinitely more talented attacking players play football that's just as bad when it comes to crunch. Really?
First things first here, I think you're exaggerating dramatically. Especially when you say crunch time and you compare them to Chelsea. Real Madrid in crunch time, they do not play teams and have two shots on goal throughout the game. They're not like Chelsea. You can't put them on Chelsea's level.
I'm not talking about the eagerness to attack. That's one thing. That's one thing we're talking about. That's where Chelsea are the absolute winners. Like, they will just not attack. They'll be ready to sit back and just keep on the counter. I'm talking about, for a team that consider themselves an attacking team, that's one of the reasons they got rid of Mourinho. They weren't pleased with the football playing, right? If you consider yourself an attacking team, right? If you're going to spend the money that they spend on attacking players, right? Then the football that they have to play has to be much better. Because honestly speaking, right? Man City play better attacking football than Real Madrid.
Yeah, they do. They play the football that suits the players that they
have.
Or what they
do. Wait, who's that? Mariah. Oh my God, where did Mariah come from?
My headset hasn't been working. Anyway, yeah. They play the football that suits the players they have. What happens is when they come up against the better teams, you need a bit more than what that system offers. So it kind of holds.
You're talking about Real Madrid or Man City here?
Real Madrid, not Man City. Okay, yeah. Just in regards to Real Madrid's success in general, My main issue, yeah, you have a problem with the way they do business, but when you look at it, Barca is what has stood in their way. They're losing leagues on like 93 points, 94 points, 95 points. So for me, all I see is that Barca have been in their way this last decade or so, to be honest with you. But
even aside from, because that's recent, that's only recent. Like you said, 7 league titles in Spain in 26 years of a club of Real Madrid size.
Yeah, that's fine. You can talk. I'm talking about the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Even you're going off your point, you're saying they played the football that suits their players. Yeah. Is it really? Apart from Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, Bale, the same football that suits Ronaldo is the same football that.
I don't think it suits Bale. Because if it suited by the way it should have, he would have been doing much better than he is right now because he's not playing to his potential.
I see it about last season, and also I do see your points, but I do feel that you're being extremely harsh because, especially when it seems like you're judging on a very short. Let me finish because you're talking about the football, but first half of the season when they had Luka Modric playing in the team, and especially when Gareth Bale got injured, when it was James, Isco, Modric, and Cruz, they were balling like proper intricate passing football, cutting through teams through the middle, not just putting balls into the box. They were cutting through teams through the middle, as well as getting out wide. Their players varied. But I think the problem with this Real Madrid team now is that if we compare it to the Real Madrid team of last season, I think I tweeted about it. Now, if you look at their midfield three, last season it was Xabi Alonso, Luka Modric and Angel Di Maria. That's quite a bit
That's
of
a
good balance.
Balance.
That's a good balance and a lot of different types of players. You've got Di Maria and Modric who can really penetrate through the middle, either with dribbles or with passes, even Xabi Alonso. Yesterday, it was Isco, James and Cruz. Even though I did like seeing like three creative type players playing, it seems like Cruz.
But there's no defensive.
No, not defensive.
But do you know what's funny about that? Cruz is the one that was marking Morata. Hello.
Yeah. Sorry. Say that again.
Cruz is the one that was marking Morata as well during that. During that period, that pressure.
Honestly, last season, I didn't have a problem with the way they played too much. And I think their issue mainly is when Modric doesn't play, it affects
their team a lot. So badly.
Yeah, so it's kind of more like they're reliant.
The over-reliance on Luka Modric. I think it's because of if you look at their previous squad, we're having a discussion in our chat about the Roms really miss Ozil, where they had like Mesut Ozil, Angel Di Maria, Xabi Alonso. Like, you have a certain type of player who could play in their pockets and create chances. With Real Madrid, when they kind of play like more of like a straight 4-4-2, when things aren't really working, it just seems really weird, but that's as of late without Luka Modric. So, I don't know.
Shall I tell you why I think there's an over-reliance on Modric? is because he's the only person in that team that's game is based on others having a good game. Like, bringing others in. Everyone else, they're more about themselves, if you look. Bale, other than Benzema. Benzema as well. But Ronaldo, Bale, Isco, Rodriguez, they're more selfish players. They haven't got anyone other than Modric now that looks to play up, bring others in. That's why they struggle without him. Because everyone's trying to do their own thing.
Yeah, because basically he's the only facilitator in the team.
Yeah.
Like that, when you lose Ozil and Di Maria and Xabi Alonso, who are naturally facilitators... In terms of them,
I think they missed Benzema as well.
Yeah, he does bring others in, but this idea of selling a world class player for a potentially world class player for double the fee, I just don't understand the thought process behind it.
I think it's money generated because
it's just a merchandise. Yeah, because thing. Obviously it's just a commercial. Yeah,
that's what Kane was kind of saying, wasn't it? Like.
Sorry?
That's what Kane was kind of saying.
Like, when they got rid of Schneider for Ozil and things like that.
They
like,
got rid of Robin for someone else as well.
Was it? Remember when they said Drenta because he had an amazing under-21 tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah, their system's a bit, it's messed up, to be honest with you.
Well, financially, it bounds because when you think about it, you get rid of a world class player, so another one, so fans are excited to see another player. You make profit on that guy, and obviously you get money off the merchandise etc. of the new guy. I don't think it's a good model in terms of.
I think on the pitch, it messes up continuity.
Yeah, that's how I think it messes up on continuity of the pitch as well. I think when you're changing manager so much, I think that has an effect. Especially because after a while, at least a certain manager, for example, like I think when managers are at a club for a certain period of time, they kind of gain, power in terms of like what goes on upstairs. You look at the Fergusons and the Wengers, for example. So then you may be able to get...
Continuity is a British concept in football, though. That doesn't exist anywhere else.
It doesn't.
That's our thing.
Yeah, that's our thing.
Remember when Serie A was the biggest league in the world? Like when the team lost 3 games, the manager was gone, innit? They would tackle straight after the game. Like when they're still reading the results, they'll tell you that the department manager has been fired. So this, we try and force our ideals onto every other part of football and think that they should operate the same. That doesn't work for them. Real Madrid fans would be fuming if they kept the settled squad for 3 years. They don't like that. They're not used to that. That's not them.
All right. Well, let's move on to some listeners' questions because I'm sure we could talk about Real Madrid all day, but we're coming to an end, so we need to wrap things up a bit. I'm just going to quickly run through some. Kanye_yes asks, who would be the ideal replacement for De Gea?
He's already there, mate. They've got their replacement, innit?
Valdez, yeah? Valdez,
how about Valdez or Sand? You think Valdez came to see
that? That's what I said at the time. That's what I said at the time. And
he didn't become a waste man overnight. He was goalkeeper, one of the best team for how long? Come on. He didn't go there just to sit on the bench. This was always happening.
I know you want Hugo Lloris.
But Lloris is going PSG.
I want Spider-Man because that's the closest thing we're going to get to flipping David De Gea, bruv. Because especially if our back four, but I don't know. I like Lloris. People like all my friends seem to think he's not that good. I personally like him.
Why haven't United been linked with Cech?
We've been linked to Cech. I've just seen it.
I think because he wants to stay in London.
I've just seen that we've been linked to Chelsea with Cech. I don't think Chelsea really have much of a choice. They don't really have much of a choice. In certain situations, you don't have much of a choice.
Why don't they have a choice?
If a guy wants to go and a club wants to pay the money, I just want to go anywhere else, you're going to send him to that person.
Nah, they're not going to send him to a direct rival. I doubt he's really going to move to a direct rival either, man.
There's a lot of smoke there.
Yeah, he'll
send him to a team in England.
I think it's very different with goalkeepers, you know? Schmeichel went City, remember? Like, come on. Like, I don't think it's the same with goalkeepers. Especially when they're no longer needed. As well.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's no longer leader. He's not, I don't know. I can see him go to United or flipping Arsenal. Me personally, Valdez. I don't see Valdez doing bits in our league because he's just too short. I know it sounds a bit silly, but I could just see him getting munched in set pieces and stuff like that. And we're already awful as it is defending set pieces. So me personally, Cech. If we could get Cech, I'll be all over that. Personally, that'd be perfect for me.
Cech would be the perfect.
Perfect.
Begovic. Yes,
Begovic is a big fish at a small club. He'll get drowned at Man United.
How tall is Begovic?
He's big, very big. He's big.
I'm seeing 8 million transfer fees. So like him and Vardy is like that could.
He'll just be your typical Man United goalkeeper that you get to replace someone good. You'll sell him within because he won't be good enough. He's just going to be one of them.
Yeah, that does happen a lot where a goalkeeper goes from a small club. You think they're great. They go to the big club and you notice.
And it's because their concentration goes out the window.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because it's a different ball game. Look at Simon Mignolet. He goes from Sunderland to Liverpool. I know, say what you want about Liverpool, but the gap is reasonably big. The game changes. Sunderland, you're under constant pressure pretty much every single game.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's different at Liverpool.
Yeah. So
as a keeper, Lewis, what keepers stand out to you that you think can make this step up?
What did you just say?
Okay. As a keeper, the only person I would want, because obviously Arsenal possibly need a keeper, depending on who you speak to. The only person I would really want is Petr Cech. So.
Oh wow! Also, Wenger said that also have 3 world class goalkeepers. Who?
No, he said 2. He said 2.
Oh, okay, so who are they? Because they ain't your goalkeeper, bro.
Wojciech.
No, he said 3.
Wojciech.
He said 3. He said 3.
He did say 3, man. He did say
3. I think he's on about Ospina, Wojciech, and Martinez.
Jack Wilshere.
Nah. Martinez.
I tell you, United could go for that. Would be good for them. I think Tim Krul is a blinding goalkeeper. And with LVG and Krul being done,
yeah, that does sound, and he'll definitely leave Newcastle in the summer.
Yeah,
100%.
That could be something.
United should go for Leno, you know, from
and Van Gaal likes that little party trick.
Who is Leno? Who does he play for?
He plays for
Leverkusen.
He's a German guy. He's amazing.
He's not amazing. I've seen him make proper gaffes before.
I ain't got time for that.
I don't have gaffes, but like on his day, he's actually like.
Oh, I don't hit on his day. His day has to be every day of the week, fam. You're a goalkeeper. You got to have on his day, bro.
Like the last time I saw him was against Bayern Munich, and he was just sick.
It'd be nice to see Krul at Man United because that way Van Gaal can bring him off the bench and save a penalty and we can see the hashtag of tactical genius.
I was waiting for one of you
prince
to say that.
Me and Lewis discussed that before. You see, we set that one up.
Yeah, but United fans should have always expected this to happen though.
Not as soon though, to be fair, but yeah.
Not as soon, but he's always going to go back to Spain.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Me personally, come on, Manchester, Madrid, like there's no brainer, like you're from Spain. Yeah. Gonna be the Spanish number one goalkeeper long term. It makes no sense. I'll look blame him. I wish him all the best. I'm just sad, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. Henley Fresh asks: is Tim Sherwood an underrated manager?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
I sort of like him because he wore a body warmer over a suit. But apart from that, he's
a gilet.
He wore a body warmer over a body warmer, mate.
He's a legend.
Like seriously, yeah, that's a man yet that. I wouldn't get in his way, bruv. Like, he doesn't care about life. He's wearing double body warmers, bruv.
He took it off, then he had another one underneath.
Do you know what though? His interviews after game, they're so like, they're half cringy and they're half brilliant.
I love them.
They're like, yeah, they're a Tim Sherwood team now. Oh, what's a Tim Sherwood team? They win games.
I love it.
Oh. You know what?
I respect him a lot.
Holloway's got friends. Jobs he can't manage, but he's got prem jobs because he gives good interviews. So he says what the typical English fan wants to hear, innit?
That's why I like it.
The typical man at home that throws in talk sports saying every manager should get fired after a loss wants to hear that this player didn't try hard enough. They want them to get Kane. That's what they like hearing. So Sherwood knows that. He's not silly. So he knows.
So what Tim Sherwood for England then?
I think he will Tim get Sherwood for England one day between him and Gary Monk.
Oh, God help us.
I think you need to Eddie Howe in that.
Actually, I don't mind.
I think Tim Sherwood is a new age Harry Redknapp.
I like Tim
Sherwood. I would agree with that.
Is that a compliment or?
Redknapp's awful. Yeah,
but I think he's the same type of manager. I don't really think he's going to be like a tactically inept people. He just puts his arm around players and he's like, oh, let's have it, lads.
he needs to sign.
I think you're harsh on him tactically. I think he done a real job on Liverpool in the semi-final.
Yeah,
and I don't think that was by accident either.
I personally like Tim Shearer. I like the fact that
I think you also forget that when Arsenal played Tottenham last season, he'd done a job on us. We were lucky.
Yeah,
what was that one? The 1-0 one where we beat them.
Yeah, we should have beat them.
Rosicky scored.
But at the same time, we do that against Spurs. We score early and then we just go to, I don't know what we do. We just
park the bus.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we try and
we
do.
We ain't got a bus to park. We park a moped, mate.
All right. Pharaoh T asks, where does Hazard's season rank against his La Liga and Bundesliga counterparts?
I have no clues on that.
So
it's difficult when he only has like the ball 30% of the time. So,
who are his counterparts in La Liga and Bundesliga? I think in La Liga, what you saying? Neymar, Isco. Yeah. Bale, well, in who else?
Royce.
Bundesliga. Right, yeah, but Royce hasn't really played, has he?
Bale.
In Bundesliga, you say you just got to say in Royce, really.
Mm.
It's funny about like the all the stress on. I got to say right.
What about Robin? Robin as well.
I don't really. When I say counterpart, similar age.
I don't think Robin's his counterpart. Like
Robin's a big man to.
Yeah, Robin's third best player in the world. Okay.
What about Ribery?
No.
Hazard's a big man to Ribery.
Get out of here, man.
Move.
Hazard's better than
Ribery.
Allow it, man.
Be Scarface. Get out of here, bro. This ain't Pro Evo 2016.
Until Hazard is the best player in a treble winning team, do not talk to him about.
But Ribery wasn't even the best. Ribery wasn't even the best player.
Get out of here, man.
You're the best player of these Scarface. Because you're French, bro, you prick. Get out of here, man. Croissant, bro.
Yeah, best player.
You brioche.
Get out of here, bro.
My best player is Fellaini, cuz. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, but yeah, his counterparts in Bundesliga, I would only say is Royce and Götze. Götze, for me, the whole
he's out of
method behind him is...
You're going to get so much stick for your pronunciation of Götze.
Yeah, you're gonna have
so hipster.
He's so hipster.
You're from England, Götze, mate. Fucking Götze.
Mario Götze. Mario Götze.
You're not the hipster ones. I'm just saying.
You're at the cereal bar right now, man.
Huh?
You're at the cereal bar.
I am. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm eating some Lucky Charms. No, but I got to say, like, even with him,
he's got a gun.
Yeah, 5 pounds for Lucky Charms. Like, even with Götze, he started the season, like his first half of the season was on fire. If anything, he was on par with Hazard, then some of the best players of that, you know, that circle. Yeah. And, you know, admittedly, he's had a very, very poor 2015, but people are using that recent narrative to say his whole season has been like that. Even to the point where there's been videos of him at like an open training session. I think he missed a chance. And he basically...
That was today, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, try that one.
And he stood still, and they were like, "Raw, like guys, like, what do you think?" And I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Can I ask you guys a question here today? Yeah, I was personally insulted by this, but like, somebody, like I think Meads, he must ask Star, "Would you take Götze?" And I saw loads of people saying no, and I personally,
that was driving me mad.
I personally found that funny. When I say the majority was saying no, and these are guys who were putting pictures of Daley Blind when we signed him, bruv, on their DPs, and they'll say no to Götze. Like,
are we talking about just United fans?
No, it was United fans, Chelsea fans. I'm not too sure about Arsenal fans. I'm not too sure, but like, I saw for Arsenal fans say no because it's like people don't, because of the narrative that's coming out of Germany, you know, where they're reading, no, you get these football accounts that tweet what they think, and then what they think, and then everybody just follows what they think without watching the games. So like it's like now apparently Götze has been rubbish for Bournemouth for 2 years all of a sudden, and then people literally saying that if they had the option of signing Mario Götze, they will say no.
Unless you got a number 10, that's better than them already.
So that's what my personal
opinion. You could have a number, unless you're like ridiculously blessed in a number 10 area. Yeah. There is no way you should be turning down a player of his ability.
Because I was saying he could play wide, he could play as a central midfielder, he could play attacking. Everybody said no, so I'm asking you guys, what do you think of that? Would you take Götze?
I'll grab it with both hands, man.
I said, as an Arsenal fan, I would take him purely for the fact that we've got Rosicky that's on his way out, we've got Santi Cazorla who's coming to the end of his peak.
it would make absolute zero sense to turn down a player of his ability.
Listen to this, yeah.
But just as a fan of football, right? If you're on an
I MLS, heard a man tell me that they wouldn't because of Willie and Oscar are more athletic.
What?
Say that again. I never heard that.
You talk about the pressing game. I was like, don't say press for
Dortmund. Wait, I don't think Oscar's more athletic than him, you know.
Yeah, and he said, Meads, he said he wasn't mobile enough. And I was like,
No. What Meads said, what he said to me anyway, was he envisions Chelsea playing a particular way in a 4-3-3 system with a particular profile for the DM, Matic, one Cesc, and he wanted a box-to-box technical
does
center.
Does he sit in the team meetings with them on Monday morning?
Listen, you have to ask him. You have to ask him about that. But obviously, I'm just trying to...
The fact is, it's a straightforward football question. If you have an opportunity to have Mario Götze, Willian, or Oscar, unless you are a complete idiot, you pick Götze. Like, there's no two ways about it. I don't want to hear about athleticism because James Milner is more athletic than the three of them put together. You're not picking Milner over them.
Listen, a United fan had audacity to tell me today, where would he play? Fam, you have Ashley Young and Fellaini playing. You're obviously going to wear Mario Götze playing for Manchester United.
He won you the game against Palace, you know.
Guys.
In review, which player? Oh, sorry. This is from AFC Huss. He asks. he's an Arsenal fan, of course. In review, which player from your club has made the most progress over the year? So, we've only got Man United and Arsenal fans on the pod this week, so I guess we'll just limit to those two teams.
He's improved the most.
Bellerin and Coquelin.
Coquelin has made the most progress?
Smalling. Coquelin, without a shadow of a doubt, really.
Smalling. Yeah. Coquelin. Smalling. I want to say Wilshere, you know, but...
Huh? What the hell?
Wilshere hasn't had a bad game when he's been fit. He hasn't had one bad game.
Wilshere was fantastic at the start of the season, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was great until he got injured, and he's just come back. So we can't exactly say, Wilshere hasn't had a bad game all season.
I think Walsh has been playing to a level where we've always knew he could play. Whereas Coquelin and Bellerin have
looking better than he was before injury as well. He's so sharp.
Are you sure about that? How many minutes is he playing, bro?
He looks like mad.
What's his dribbling now? Is better than
he might play against Arsenal. That's the peak.
He looks sharp, bruv.
To be honest, we can't win a game with Jack Wilshere in a team at the moment, so he'll probably beat us.
No. I personally think next season, as long as he stays fit, so many people need to start deleting their tweets about Jack Wilshere.
Word.
because this guy...
He just needs to stay fit.
That's all he... Him and Oxlade-Chamberlain, I was wrong about Oxlade-Chamberlain. Like, I think them two...
I need to find that tweet, man.
There was loads of people, though, telling me that he's not good on the ball, like, he's erratic.
No, because... For me, it's from every.
None of them shots.
No, for me, it's from every time I watch.
Hello.
Listen.
Yeah, hello.
I was getting. Yeah, right. Oh, come on! Like, rewind back a season. Some of the Jack Wilshere shouts was beyond ridiculous. Like, beyond ridiculous.
Do you know what I've started to realize?
They were genuine cleverly.
We're just living a time where people want to have an opinion right now. And it's kind of like, they just want to say, they want to talk just to hear their own voices, really. So it's really a thing where he just has to shut them up. Well, shut up the majority of people. I think, shut up the majority of people, to be fair. I think people rate him, but not playing so well right now. So just an easy target, really.
If Jack stays fit for a season, he will have an Aaron Ramsey breakthrough season, like, in terms of everyone being like, whoa, this guy's...
I agree.
Unreal. Yeah. Except I don't think anyone can say that they didn't expect it from Jack.
Yeah, true.
So is Jack kind of... better than Barkley now?
Saying that?
Listen. The whole Barkley... Oh, my God. Like, don't get me wrong. Barkley, for me, is a very, very talented player.
Yeah, he is, no doubt.
And he could go on to do great things. But the comparison alone was just like, wait, what? I think
he's more of a tiger, though. Tell the truth.
See, that is another situation where lads wanted
that line there.
They wanted to have an opinion on something at the time. And it was kind of like Jack was just someone he was kind of easy to kick while he was down, to be honest.
Jordan Henderson was getting rated higher than Jack Wilshere.
Nobody rated fans, man. That's Liverpool fans, honestly. I don't think...
No, it wasn't, because I was hearing that.
No, it wasn't. It's not just Liverpool as well.
Fans. I've had the argument with a Man United fan about Wilshere and Henderson, and he was telling me, look at Henderson's chances created. I'm trying to tell him, look, if you pass to Sturridge and he shoots for 40 yards, that goes down.
Same thing of Ozil, by the way. But yeah.
But at the end of the day, like...
Yeah, I agree, but Arsenal players don't really shoot, but I do agree.
Nah, a lot of people rated Henderson over Wilshere, man. A lot of people.
Okay, David King... David underscore King 26 asks, what player from the Premier League... we'll keep it to the Premier League. What player from the Premier League has disappointed you this season? One you expected to push on and do well. So I guess the obvious one would be Di Maria.
LBL.
Let's kind of think outside of the box. Barkley, yeah.
Falcao hasn't surprised me one bit. I knew he was finished. I told you like that the day you signed him. No, everyone wanted to love him.
Oh, shut up, man. Sorry, next season, we'll renew the loan.
I told you that he was a spent force, and you think them knee injuries, you don't come back from them, innit, at his age. Not twice. It's impossible to get him.
Okay. I've got another one from Eddie Truly Reds. He asks, what does the media obsession with Gerrard say about how English players are viewed in the Premier League?
This is the media what? Question.
The media obsession with Gerrard.
It's so deserved, yeah? See that man, Gerrard, is one of the most amazing footballers you'll ever see in your life, and the disrespect I've seen him take over the last 18
I don't
months,
think he meant in an I don't think no, he meant but, in a negative way. He didn't mean in a negative way.
Look how we talk about the likes of Pirlo here. Like, and I don't mean to be funny. For me, Pirlo doesn't talk to Gerrard, innit? I'm going to be real with you. For me, he doesn't. Like, he may have got better in the later years of his career and gone past what Gerrard is now. But in a prime, it's not a comparison for me. So, I don't believe any praise that Gerrard gets is an obsession or undeserved. I think the man deserves every piece of praise he can get, and I think we're lucky to have seen a player like that in the Premier League for as long as we saw him.
Yeah, I think fans respect him. I think, but it's just typical club banter.
Guys, can we just come together? Like, I know we're hated. Like, Touchline is hated by Liverpool fans because they think we got some sort of. They think we're part of the media obsession against Gerrard. Yeah.
No, I love Gerrard though.
Come together and just like really praise Gerrard.
It's not Touchline, it's me when I'm on a camp. I have digs in Liverpool. It's like one of my personal.
Yeah, so do I. I'm not going to lie. I do it a lot.
Yeah, but joke aside, Steven Gerrard is one of the best midfielders of our generation worldwide, not just the Premier League.
And yeah, he's broke my heart a lot of times, you know.
All the praise he gets is deserved. So how many games has he won on his own? Man's been the Champions League with Bishkan and flipping Jimmy Torre and Mitsa. Like,
a man said, what did someone suggest the other day that he would swap all his medals for one Prem medal?
Who said that?
I can't remember who it was. I'll find the tweet, but somebody.
Carragher, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Carragher. There was someone on Twitter that said that they bet he would swap all his medals for
one. No, but Carragher said that on Sky Sports, though.
No, you wouldn't.
He said as well, he's an idiot. Who would do that? Swap a Champions League for.
Yeah, or maybe he said he would swap his domestic titles for.
Yeah, but I personally think, see, when it comes to Gerrard, yeah, he even said it himself that obviously with the Mourinho situation, because what he's done at Liverpool means way more than winning like maybe 10 more trophies, and I can see why, because obviously he's literally adored by that club. And
in fairness, he should have won it like twice.
Yeah, and like if you look at some of the Champions League, FA Cup final, like. I can't really think of many players worldwide that have been in
the game back, just like that.
Yeah, in so consistently. How many games have the deciding man has been Steven Gerrard, especially from a central midfielder? Mm. Like, I can't think of not one central midfielder in world football.
What's his goal?
No, it's funny. Do you remember when you had remember back in the day when you were a kid and in your garden you'd always play the FA Cup final? You'd always score a last minute goal in the FA Cup final. Like,
yeah, Gerrard.
Yeah.
Gerrard's done that in real life. Like. We all pretended to do that in our garden as kids. He's done it. Like
I pretended to save them, by the way.
Oh, this is weird child. So strange, man. But yeah, he's done it. Like I don't understand how anyone cannot rate him. Like I probably don't get it.
I think can't see anyone. I just think literally just think it's club banter to be fair,
I think it's just a young agenda that we follow.
Because
like they were saying stuff, they say stuff like Sterling better than Ronaldo at his age. They just weren't around at the time when obviously he was at the peak of his powers, you see what I'm saying? So they can't really appreciate them like maybe people of slightly older age can, and that's tends to be the vast majority of this country. So that's why
And one thing that bugs me is when people get onto Gerrard technically, bruv. Like, Gerrard is technically textbook English technique.
I think if you're like building an English player, the way England like sees the game, the way they play.
Gerrard's like the perfect
Gerrard
example.
Gerrard plays like Gerrard, Terry, but yeah, let me just stick to Steven Gerrard. Yeah, Gerrard is exactly the type of player I would think up in my head, to be fair.
But then players get knocked so much now by the football hipsters.
Yeah, it's because you ain't got technique unless you're doing drags and little flicks. That's the thing.
Do you know how many ways Steven Gerrard can strike a football?
This is the thing, right? A lot of people, they don't perceive technique the way should be perceive technique. Technique is purely about biomechanics of a foot with a ball, right? However, where people have said this is where Gerrard lacks is more in terms of his game understanding, which his game understanding is still incredible, but it's just not in the same realm as the elite of the elites. That doesn't mean to take anything away from Gerrard.
That's not fair. Gerrard grew up in a football culture that played one way. So until Steven Gerrard came across Rafa Benitez, he'd never played in a three-man midfield before. It didn't happen for people like him. As a midfielder, you went forward, you went back. Yeah, you won the ball, you gave the ball, you did everything, and then Then we brought in this thing where every part of the midfield is divided up between three men. He wins it, he passes it, he runs with it, and then people was like, "Oh, someone that's not used to that and doesn't do that isn't good anymore." That's not fair.
No. Like I agree with you, but what I'm saying is that it's the misconception about his technique. His technique for a midfielder is absolutely 10 out of 10.
But even when you say about game understanding, if you was to go and take in, if the culture of football completely changed, like how many players that we think are great couldn't survive in this day and age if they was to start playing again now? Because it's completely different to what they know. And people think the game evolves faster than any player. Any player it does. Like you can't keep up with it. Unless you're Messi's of this world. I don't think it's fair. It's like, if you put Xavi Hernandez in England in 1997...
Wait, you just said Xavi Hernandez. Oh, my God.
I apologize, I got sucked in. I'm not here. Xavi, yeah? In England in 97, in a two-man midfield, people would look at him and think, oh, what's this guy? Don't even
move. That's completely fair, because like I said, like even with Xavi, he was on the verge of going out. Like, literally... If anything, Pep Guardiola was the Xavi Hernandez before Xavi Hernandez, in the sense that like people forget, like it's not like he retired or he finished at Barcelona when he was like 37. Like he left when he was 31, because the game was starting to evolve in a way where, you know, it wasn't conducive to his playing style. So I completely understand that principle in regards to Gerrard. I'm just explaining. I'm not justifying. I'm just further explaining that that's where people kind of. That's what they used to take away from Gerrard's ability and his legacy. However, not every player is perfect in terms of their playing style. Not every player is perfect in terms of what they can achieve. And it's nitpicking, essentially. It's nitpicking.
Someone asked what Gerrard's goalscoring record was. It's 183 goals in 708 games. For a midfielder, that's...
Yeah, but he's played all over the midfield, to be fair. He's played DM, CM,
that's
CAM.
That's played out right.
That's one in seven. It's more than that.
Yeah, more than that. Like,
183 and 700. It's like one in three almost.
That's pretty decent, you know.
That's more than decent. A lot of strikers don't even kind of gross their numbers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
okay.
Has Jose and Altidore ever even done that in what?
Altidore's record in Holland, mate. He's a goal scorer, innit.
not in this country. No, but yeah,
I got one in two in Holland.
I heard Depay's got like 30 goals this season.
give it a rest, Weasel.
Just a little slimy, sneaky little piece of crap.
Weasel, mate. He's a weasel.
Back to the Liverpool slander, yeah? Kadzguna 95 asked, why is Liverpool and Gerrard fucking up so funny?
No, it's because Liverpool fans got too uppity, man. Like, you need to know your place, bruv. Like, you started winning a few games, all right, you come in second a couple times, and then you started talking about, we're going to do the treble.
They came in second once, mate.
Twice.
Huh?
They came second once, man.
Bruv, they just need to, like, Liverpool fans, right? The reason people left you alone before, but you started piping up.
Yeah, they brought it up.
Delusions of
when the beat is still, when the beat is what?
Not
five
really
mil,
their fault, though, is it? Really?
It is.
It's not. It's the, look at the media love Liverpool, you know?
Like, whether it's their fault or not,
they're going to get it. They have to. It's just part of life. Like,
but it's the same with everyone. That's why everyone gets it. Like, when Arsenal were flipping, holding on to their delusions of being a top team about 2006, 2007, 2008, like, we got it as well. Like, and United got it when they fell off last season. So, like, it just happens, innit? When you're just, like, acting above your station.
And I'm sorry, saying let's not let it slip, and you slip the week later. Sorry.
You can't even write the script, can you?
The best one.
United are having a poor season, but boy, that felt like the Champions League to me. I'm not going to lie to you.
You know what, yeah, I got into an argument with a Liverpool fan because I was just like, oh, you bottled the league, right? And he was like, well, if we bottled the league, then Arsenal bottled it even worse because you were leading it for so long. And I was like, wait, hold on. You had literally two games left. You were three goals up. And you're saying you bottled it worse than Arsenal did.
Liverpool didn't bottle it. Brendan Rodgers cost him the title, innit? Brendan Rodgers cost him that title, not Steven Gerrard. Yeah, Brendan Rodgers cost him that title. I don't care what anybody
That's actually
said.
True.
There was
Why?
No he's easily for them to the
I think it's a bit
Chelsea
of both,
game,
man.
For one, there was no reason for them to try and win the Chelsea game. Chelsea, exactly. They should have let Chelsea play like that, and they should have played the same way and drawn 0-0. That's what they should have done. And then they
Palace as well.
Palace, and they should have shut up shop. Job done, you win the league.
Ferguson did that, I think the last Ronaldo year, we always, against Arsenal, like, we just let you not have the ball, defended, 0-0, calm, collect our league title. So, sometimes you've got to be
Chelsea weren't trying to win the game, though. Chelsea was going for a draw. Liverpool
exactly.
didn't need to win.
Yeah, but
it
let's be honest. Specifically, if he didn't slip over, they weren't scoring.
Chelsea were nicking a goal at some point. They were.
They would have scored somehow, you know.
Or something.
Okay, but lads, think about this.
Chelsea jam, I remember that half year, Chelsea did not even try to attack, bro.
They did.
Like,
they did.
It was embarrassing, wasn't it? It was embarrassing.
Too like there was no attack. It wasn't even like a sit back and count.
Goal again.
All I'm saying is, like, for me, I made Liverpool fans my sworn enemies for the season after that argument. How are you going to be two games away from winning the league and you're saying we bought it more than you did?
Yeah, but can hear this though. But even forget the Chelsea game. I think the Palace one is more unforgivable because
that's what I'm talking about. It's 3-0.
Yeah,
sorry. Your 3-0 goes up with 15
your
minutes
goal,
left.
Your goal difference is never going to catch Man City's. Take the 3-0 and then you hope. And pray, put the pressure on them because you saw when United put the pressure on Man City, they start stumbling. They almost bought against QPR. They almost lost the game. What happened in football?
They proper tried to score 10 goals, you know.
Like, are you disabled? You're winning away from home. Like,
seven more now.
I don't think you understand. I'm watching the tweets. Come on, lads, two more. Fuck you, know.
The reaction of the players like was funny as well when Suarez started crying.
On top of that, on the summer.
No, I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie.
Even when it went 3-1, why didn't they think? Let's just think
exactly. This is why I think.
Forget the matches. Even during the summer,
that was pure negligence.
Yeah, the summer was bad.
Listen, even the preseason. Yeah. Oh my God! Look at Rodgers. Look how great he's gonna be. Think about how better we're gonna be. We're gonna reinvest that money. Yeah. Henderson's going to kick on. We're going to sign Alexis Sanchez. Listen, the wreck by Liverpool.
You know what? Liverpool fans about Sanchez as well.
No, the Balotelli tour. When they got Balotelli, they thought that they just scooped the buffest chick in the club. They were like, oh my God, that's it. He's on school so many goals.
I thought
they
the buffest chick in the club as well. I'm not going to lie. I'm a big fan of
Balotelli. Thought, banging.
Who thought it was going to be this bad though, man? This has been...
I didn't expect this to be
this
bad.
Rodgers has stitched him up. Rodgers
a prick.
Yes,
you got some anti-Rodgers agenda.
I don't like him, you know.
He's arrogant without achievement. I don't understand. Like,
that's what I think as well.
Like, it's true. He's talking about
Do you know what he said today?
What did he say?
Mm-hmm. It was like Jazz done more for Liverpool this grid. This place than any MP has. Some bullshit like that. Why are you saying that?
He's a media. He needs media training. He weren't a pro, so he hasn't had the media training. I think that's one of his big problems.
Yeah,
another thing I don't like about what he's doing now is he keeps throwing these young players under the bus, the young black players as well. Because when Flanagan's getting offered 40 bags a week and Joe Allen's on 40 bags a week, no one ain't saying nothing. But Jordan Sterling must beg and Ive must beg for money. Get out of here.
They have packed up. I've got no sympathy for them. But still, I
fair enough. Okay, let's move on. Let's finish off with a couple more questions before we wrap it up. Daryl Lambert asks, which team do you realistically think will go toe-to-toe with Chelsea for the title next year based on the players linked to the rest of the top four? Try keep it as short as possible, lads.
United.
Why?
If it's based on the players they've been linked with, I'd say it's them.
Mm. I think United and Arsenal, personally. Yeah.
Come on, keep going, Leroy. Keep going, go on.
Jesus. Nah, Mario, finish your time, man.
I love your
Just, I think it's Arsenal's time now. Literally, if they can keep their guys fit, they should be looking to push for it. And I assume we're going to spend another 100, 150 million, hopefully just paper over the cracks that we have. And we should be making a real, real go of it next season, to be honest with you. So, yeah. To those two, I'm not sure what's going to happen for City, man, because it's not a quality issue there. Like we said, I think it's a culture issue. So
it's not even that. City have to sign English players. So
what's English players going to do for them?
Like that's the problem. Like you just don't know what's going to happen with them.
Yeah, so I think United and Arsenal personally.
I think United will, but I like I said, until we get more goals, bad boy striker. And I just don't feel we have enough to challenge for the league. I think we'll have a similar season to this season. We'll have a major, major fuck point where we majorly fuck up. And then we'll probably finish third, fourth again or something like that.
I see that you refuse to say second.
Even if everyone's fit, yeah?
Bob, we're not finishing second even this season.
Even if, yes, you are. What the hell?
Nah, Bob, what do you mean? They're not going to lose.
Are they ahead of you now, yeah?
Yeah, our goal difference.
Oh, yeah, but you've got a game in hand on them, right?
Yeah, but then they're 3 points ahead.
Yeah, we got to win, and we got to win the goal. We got to win the game.
Okay, cool.
And we're not going to beat United either, so come on, man.
Yeah, they're going to win every game, and we're going to draw with United and win our up. So, yeah, they'll finish them second, third. Bastards. As long as we don't finish fourth, I don't mind, I'll be honest. I can't stand finishing.
Yeah. That's like a trophy to us.
That's
not
even that, man. Yeah. Like being in that fourth draw, like this time around, it's gonna be hard, you know. Like,
no, it's not gonna be. Oh yeah, I hate to do this because we're gonna lose teams. No, it ain't gonna be hard, bro. No team. Who's gonna be the draw that's gonna trouble any of our teams
You think? Because that playoff game is worth another $3-5 million to Arsenal. Gate receipts, profits, and Emirates. They don't mind that game. That game's nice.
For real.
All right, guys, let's call it a day. Thanks for joining us. You know, like us on SoundCloud, give us a review, whatnot, retweet on Twitter, endorse us, do what you can. Yeah. But, thanks for listening.
Download my mixtape as well, guys.
Right, yeah. How much is it?
It's free, man. Mariah the mixtape.
All right, then, guys. All right,
later.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Woo!